Good evening. I'd like to call to order the Council Committee of the Whole for September 26, 2017. You have a revised agenda which was distributed, which contains separate agendas for Legislative Finance Administration Committee and the Safety Advisory and Transportation Committee. Is there a motion to approve the overall agenda?
So moved.
Moved by Councilman Herron, seconded by Councilman Neal. Is there any discussion on the motion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries unanimously. I'll now turn the meeting over to the Chair of Legislative Finance and Administration Committee, Councilman Hare.
We got an agenda in front of us. I have a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Councilman Neal, second by Councilman Lewis to approve the agenda. Okay. Item one, proposed ordinance, adult daycare. Mr. Hugg.
Good evening and thank you. I'm Dave Hugg, acting city planner. The ordinance before you tonight is a result of our continuing process of looking at ordinances and identifying both things that need to be fixed and also omissions in our ordinance. We had a lady come before us a couple of months ago asking about whether she could open an adult daycare center, and her first reaction is, yeah, that was a pretty good idea until we looked in the code and found out there was absolutely no way she could do that under the existing city code and ordinances. So I asked the staff, Tracy, in particular, to explore that idea, get the state law in front of her, and although we had a couple of iterations of this ordinance before we really sort of figured out how the state law figures in, we're presenting to you for tonight for consideration an ordinance that would create a new section addressed adult daycare and also clarify some language in the existing ordinance as it relates to children, to daycare facilities for children. And I asked Councilman Neal to join me in being the sponsors of this ordinance and recommending it to the committee and to council.
Okay. Probably all run through it. Any questions? Seeing no questions, I have a motion.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Councilman Neal, second by Mr. Fock to accept the recommendation of staff. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the ayes have it. That concludes the Legislative and Finance Committee meeting. We're adjourned. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Moved by Mr. Neal, second by Mr. Schlock to adjourn. All right, we're adjourned.
We'll take a minute for the members of the Safety Advisory Transportation Committee to have a seat. All right. I call to order the Safety Advisory and Transportation Committee. Gentlemen, before you have a agenda of the committee, are there any additions or deletions? Hearing none, would somebody like to make a motion to accept the agenda?
Second.
It has been moved by Mr. Neal and second by Mr. Garfinkel. All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. First on the agenda is a request for letter of support, seatbelts for school buses. We have Ms. Gwen, who's going to come up and speak on that issue.
Good evening.
Good evening. If you could just state your name and address for the record, ma'am.
Janetta Gwen, 749 Slaughter Street, Dover, Delaware, 19904.
Thank you.
I was just wondering why there's no seatbelts on school buses when every day you turn on the news, we're hearing so much accidents happen on the school buses, you know. So, and I've been trying to get somebody to help me with this, with my proposal.
Mr. Slavin.
Thank you. So I think last time you were here, you had requested our support in sending a letter to the legislature. We put this on the agenda for that purpose.
Yes.
I think it's a wonderful idea. It's something I support. And I would move that we proceed with drafting a letter and having it sent to our delegation in both the State House of Representatives and the Delaware State Senate.
I appreciate that.
We have some questions. Second, is that in the form of a motion, Mr. Slavin?
Yes.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor. Would somebody like to second that motion? It has been a second by Mr. Garfinkel. Are there any questions? Mr. Neal?
I'm concerned because it hasn't been done, and I think that we have looked at the safety issues for vehicles for many years. I'm not certain that I would have the expertise to say that there was a reason not to have them. I would think that there are complications in terms of some of the kids, whether they would be able to get in or out of the safety belts in case of emergency. But I almost think that it has to be looked at from the standpoint of the safety experts, those who are dealing with vehicles. So while I think it's a wonderful idea to do anything that we can to protect our school children riding in these buses, it's also something that may be beyond our expertise to decide, because I think this is an issue that has to be looked at by safety experts in dealing with vehicles.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Anderson was next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for bringing this issue up, and it's definitely appreciated. I have, when I looked at this particular issue some years ago, there was a lot of controversy on it because school buses are made based upon the idea of compartmentalization. And that has worked extraordinarily well. They are the safest vehicles in America. They have the lowest injury rate for buses that are over 10,000 pounds of any form of mass transportation. And there's an argument that compartmentalization works better than seatbelts without the hassle. And there were concerns that if a bus overturned, that students would be in a position where they could strangle because there wouldn't be enough time for one adult to possibly go and get all the students off the buses. And that was one of the reasons why the National Transportation Safety Board did not require seat belts on larger buses or make that recommendation. I think over the years, some states have adopted that anyway, and quite frankly, I think when you look at that, there hasn't been any evidence that having the seat belts on the buses, particularly if they're at least 3 points, are increased the risk. I would like personally to find out what our experts at the state level and our own Department of Transportation thinks on that, but I haven't seen any reason to believe that they increase the danger at all. And if they don't increase the danger, I think it's worth looking at. It is an interesting subject, but it's not a slam dunk because of the way the school buses are designed.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Mr. Slavin?
Thank you. I always appreciate Councilman Anderson's research and opinion, except for when he's factually incorrect. National Highway Transportation Safety Administration did make a recommendation in late 2015 that all new school buses should have seat belts. They declared that that was a much safer alternative than what we have on the streets right now. And 19 states right now have legislation before their legislatures debating this issue. I don't want to get lost in the bureaucracy of this and compartmentalization and whether cars are safe or buses are safe. I want to focus on whether the kids are safe. And a letter from this body saying that we're interested in this because we have children in our community that ride on our roads, and we want to make sure that we have the safest possible way to do that, I think is where, what the import of this conversation is about. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Slavin. Does anybody else have any questions? Mr. Pultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Council President Slavin. I, too, did some research. 19 states do, in fact, have legislation in front of them. Six currently require seat belts. Three of those six have provisions in the language that would simply state when we have the money. On average, it costs $7,000 to $10,000 for every bus to be equipped with seatbelts, and the average total cost of a bus being about $80,000 to $120,000, although I don't like a $30,000 variance when talking finance. One thing, though, I would, Mr. Council President, if you would, I believe the appropriate person or entity to send this letter to would be our local education association, our LEAs. Our LEAs are the ones who are truly tasked with issues such as this. For example, and just for clarity's sake, Capital School District is the school district that all the schools, and Councilman Cole, correct me if I'm incorrect, but all the schools in Dover fall in. But that doesn't necessarily mean that, for instance, Lake Forest or Milford School District would take up the same cause. We have public 19 LEAs and then charters, and so the number is pretty high, but I think that would be an appropriate course of action, too, to include them in our letter.
Thank you, Mr. Pultz. Mr. Hare?
Agreeing with, I don't have a problem with it. I guess my concern is what would happen further down the road. When you have a 5 or 6 year old get on the bus, who's responsible for seeing that they're strapped in? Would the parents get on with them, strap them in, or the driver has to do that?
No. My granddaughter was 3 years old when she knew how to unbuckle and buckle her seatbelts. Most 4 year olds and 5 years old and 3 year olds do know how to buckle their seatbelts and unbuckle them.
Well, my granddaughter's special ed, and she didn't really know how to do it till she was 9. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying is they're going to be. That's my only concern.
For that
I don't have a problem with recommending it, but mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of issues that will come up.
But that particular bus, it's always an 8 on, and it's not more than about no less than 10 or 12 kids on the bus. But the other majority of the school buses doesn't even have an 8 on the school bus.
Mr. Lindell?
I agree with the concept of for safety purposes and such, and however I am concerned about it not starting at the our local education district level pursuing those issues, because they're the ones that are going to ultimately have to foot the cost of the bill when it comes to that issue. So I think Councilman Pulse's solution to addressing it to the local education organizations, I think, would be a good start and a reasonable compromise.
I will take that as a friendly amendment to the motion and have the motion so amended if the seconder is amenable.
Would the seconder have any objection to amending the motion as stated?
No objection.
Does anybody have any further questions of Mrs. Gwen? Sir?
How's that? I always forget that. I think it's a great idea also to do that. I did get an opportunity to talk to a few bus drivers and to get their opinion on this and see what they thought. And of course, everyone thinks it's a great idea. However, a couple of questions do come up. And, you know, Councilman Hare, the question that just brought up about who is going to do what to take care of, make sure that everybody's buckled up. Bus drivers I spoke to said that would be an issue. You'd have to, most bus drivers don't have a second person on there, so someone would have to be hired or whatever to make sure that all those students were fastened and buckled in. Another thing is that if there was an accident, how would they be able to get to each student to be able to get them out, especially if you had the bus was on fire or whatever, and, you know, students, young people get very, you know, anxious at that time trying to get out, and, you know, they think that it may just cause more of a problem than it actually is taken care of. So, like I said, I had an opportunity to talk to a few bus drivers that worked at the through Lake Forest School District, and, you know, they just concerns were, it's just, how are we going to manage this? We have so much to manage right now. How are we going to manage these students on the bus and seatbelts? So that becomes an issue. As Mr. Harris said, it has to be really looked at, and I agree with you on the local level. Take a look at it on the local level, and at the local level, make them aware and have them come back possibly with some recommendations from there.
Thank you. Does anybody else have any further questions of Mrs. Gwynn? Mr. Garfinkel?
When I take my granddaughter, I have to, by law, put her in, she's small, has to put her into a car seat. Because if I strapped her into a seatbelt, it would be very dangerous for a small child to be in a seatbelt. School districts are going to transport pre-K, K, first, I guess second grade. They're all about that same size that really, by law, needs car seats. How does your observations reconcile with that? Are you talking about actually having maybe
like
car
I said,
seats?
On the pre-K buses, they're normally ours. Aids on the bus, but the regular buses don't even have an aid on the bus. And like I said, most 5 and 6 years old, they know how to unbuckle and buckle up a seatbelt. My granddaughter come home every day singing the safety law, you know, about the fire, how to unbuckle your seatbelt and all like that. So, I mean, kids are smart nowadays. They know this stuff. That's
okay, but what about the children that by law need to be in a safety seat?
Well, they would have them on the bus, too, safety seat. But like I said, on those particular buses, like for kindergartens and pre and the toddlers, they normally have aides on the bus that can help out with unbuckling the seatbelts and everything. You know.
Thank you. I agree with Mr. Slavin. I think we need to put the safety of our children first. Remember, this is just a letter of recommendation. Things will probably be ironed out as it progresses. Thank you, Mrs. Gwynn.
Thank you.
We have a motion, an amended motion on the floor. It has been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Next on the agenda is prioritization of City of Dover Capital Transportation Program, CTP projects, and Mr. Hugg is going to come up and speak on that.
Thank you again. This year, about this time each year, the city submits a letter to the Secretary of Transportation or a memo to the Secretary of Transportation advising her and advising the Capital Transportation Program folks of projects that the city believes are high priority for DelDOT and the Metropolitan Planning Organization to include in their capital planning. Sometimes those projects show up in the list, sometimes they don't, but each year we're offered an opportunity to suggest some projects. The way that process works is that the city manager and the city planning director compose a list, consult with the Public Works Department and also the Police Department, and then bring to the Safety Committee and ultimately to Council a recommendation that gets forwarded to the MPO. The list that you have in front of you is, in most cases, is the list of projects that were recommended in last year's letter. There are a couple of changes that I want to call to your attention. One is that Crawford Carroll Avenue, the extension of that road, was moved up in the priority list from number 8 on our list last year to number 4. That reflects a lot of the new activity that's going on at Dell State and some activity that we believe will occur in that general corridor. We also added West Street to the list. and to our priority list. It was not on our list last year, although it is in the CTP, to make the DelDOT and the MPO aware that that's an important road segment. And we added to our list project number 7, which is Kings Highway Route 13 intersection. Again, it's an intersection that's going to be much more heavily impacted as the commercial development from Division Street to Kings Highway occurs in that general area. So what we are asking is the approval of the safety committee to send this list forward.
Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Hug from the committee? Mr. Hare.
Doesn't have anything to do with that, but they've got the curbs all done on Wyoming Avenue. Anybody know when they're going to start paving it?
No.
I've been getting a lot of calls.
Fred, I can't answer that, sir.
In the weekly update that I had last night with me, but I didn't read all that off, they're getting ready to start it. So, okay. I could have told you that last night.
Thanks.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? Mr. Lindell.
I have just one concern. I'm happy to see the Ken Road Corridor upgrades up number 2 on the list, but I know Councilman Sutler had brought up at our last meeting when we brought up the issues of the Kenton Road Corridor, College Road from McKee to Kenton Road as well. And, you know, if that one's going to be number 2, you know, I'm just concerned, like, the other one's down to number, I mean, the College Road Corridor upgrades are down to number 6. Mm-hmm. And we have and it's priority number 77, and we've got one that's priority number 100 above it. I would think those two would be more closely linked together.
Right. The priority numbers are the priorities that the Metropolitan Planning Organization assigns through their rating system. Their rating system includes traffic volume, safety, accident numbers, a variety of things, site distance, age of the road, things that, as well as economic development opportunities. So their ranking and ours don't always sort of correspond. I think the rationale behind putting Kenton Road up where we have put it in the list, again, as we're seeing an awful lot of new development on the west side of town, and while certainly College Road is also an impacted road, Kenton, the traffic volumes and safety issues are greater on Kenton Road. It is kind of a subjective process. And there's no guarantee that DelDOT or the MPO will do anything other than say thank you very much for sending your list, but at least we do have the opportunity, in addition to the normal traffic plan, transportation planning process, to have a specific input.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hug. Thank you for your vigilance and putting this together.
No problem.
What is the
move for staff recommendation of staff recommendations?
It has been moved by Mr. Neal.
Second.
Second by Mr. Hare. Staff recommendation. All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. Number 4, adjournment of Safety Advisory and Transportation Committee meeting. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
It has been moved and second. All in favor? I guess everybody's in favor.
No.
Mr. Slavin, we have to adjourn the Committee of the Whole.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Hare, second by Councilman Lewis. All in favor, thank you.
Aye.